Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Ready, break.
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch.
Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Welcome to the Action Network Podcast presented by FanDuel. This is your NFL Week 3 Best Bets episode. I'm your host, Brendan Glasheen. Today, joined by three Action Network experts, we'll be going through their three favorite bets for each of the games this coming weekend. We went 5-4 in Week 2 with each of the guys riding Packers, -9.5. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers and company, to close out last Sunday. So we're 11-7 through 2 weeks. Not too shabby. Today, our three experts, Brandon Anderson, he returns per usual, Luke Swain, otherwise known as Vegas Refund, and Joe Gallant rejoins us. He was with us in Week 1. Jill went 2-1 in Week 1. Thank you, Matt Ryan. Catch Jill Sunday mornings, 10:30 Eastern for the Touchdown Show on Action HQ's Twitter and the Action Network YouTube page. As a reminder, you can use the very same Action Network app to follow today's picks. Just use the app's follow feature and search for Action Network NFL Picks. Just some quick nuggets, guys, before we get started. Now we have a two-week sample size. Weeks 1, 2, and 3, underdogs doing pretty well. They're covering at a 56% rate. Something else, too, that I think we've come to find out, it reflects Jill's interception points throughout the course of the year. Guys not playing in the preseason. Offensive guys not playing in the preseason has had an effect. Offensive coaches are 17-21 against the spread. Last year, there were 19 games over 500, so still plenty to go in the season. But offenses, as far as coaching, personnel, they have some catching up to do. So just some things to consider. And we don't do many totals on this podcast so far, but unders hitting at a high rate, 22-10 through 2 weeks. So first up, let's go around the horn like we usually do. If you're new to the show, we start with a one-sentence summary for this coming slate. So, Brandon Anderson, get us started. How about a one-sentence summary for Week 3?
It's kitchen sink week. Teams that are winless in Week 3 since 2010 are 45-29-1 against the spread, covering 61%. Backs against the wall, they got to go hard.
Okay, how about you, Joe Gallant?
Interception week, mainly just because right now there are six players I'm seeing from a variety of different books that are at plus odds again to throw interceptions, and they're just piling up right now. So, like for example, Aaron Rodgers should probably be around 2-1 to throw an interception against Tampa Bay. Last time he played against them, three picks in that game, not exactly a plethora of wide receivers to throw to. So I'd be considering that once you could find that prop available.
Love it how you're sticking with the picks. Enjoy it. Luke Swain, how about yourself? Picks. One sentence summary for Week 3.
Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of buy low spots on teams going into the season that we were higher on than we thought coming back home after a difficult Week 1 and 2.
First best bet of the day will come from Brandon Anderson. As a reminder, we have not consulted. These guys have not consulted with one another before starting this recording. So we could have some overlap. We may not. There could be some contradictions. There may not. So it's every man for themselves here on this best bets episode. So, without further ado, pick one, Brandon Anderson, for Week 3. What do you have?
I'm going to start us out this week with the Cincinnati Bengals. They are one of those kitchen sink teams, 0-2, just barely not off the Super Bowl loss. And suddenly everyone's ready to jump off the bandwagon. For me, that is the time to jump back on. After Sunday, we're getting big value here. Bengals are -5 at the Jets. There's value on both sides here. The Jets are a little overvalued. They had that big comeback against the Browns late, so helping us forget just how rough they've been so far. Last in the entire league in defensive DVOA through 2 weeks. The Bengals had the shock loss to the Cowboys. We know teams come out hot with their backup quarterback. Cincinnati dug a hole early and almost got out of it, but couldn't finish the job. The Bengals are last in offensive DVOA. That's not going to last. This is Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. The best way to solve struggles on offense is to play the worst defense in the league, like the Jets have been so far. By the way, that bad Bengals O-line, it's not going to be quite as bad when they're not facing Micah Parsons and T.J. Watt. The Jets are not quite the same sort of threat there. Actually, the Jets O-line might be a bigger problem here with some of the injuries that they have. So I think this line really should be above a touchdown. The Bengals have covered when they won 16 of their last 17 wins so far. So kitchen sink spot, 61% cover rate. Kitchen teams that made the playoffs are 11-6 against the spread, covering by 5.1 points a game. I'll take the Bengals as the favorite.
This 0-2 star for the Bengals, Super Bowl winner or loser, has not started 0-2 since that Seahawks team in 14-15. So feels like a good landing spot here for the Cincinnati Bengals. How about Luke, Vegas refund? What's your first pick for us for week three?
Yeah, so the first one for me is going to be the Commanders, which at the current moment is +6.5. I would probably wait until Sunday on this one. You might be able to get a 7, which is a valuable key number, obviously, where the look ahead on this was Eagles -3.5. And after the Commanders lost to the Lions on Sunday, and then the Eagles had probably one of the more impressive performances on national TV on Monday, it's moved to 6.5, 7, which is just way too big of a move for me, where the Eagles are coming off of that win on a short week, going to Washington. The Commanders' defense has been bad, but I do think it's due for some positive regression. All they have to do is eliminate these explosive plays that they keep allowing, where the efficiency standpoint, it's still tops in the league, where their offense has showed us that they can hang. It has been an explosive offense. They have exceeded my expectations so far going into the season, where the Eagles' offense, obviously looking at Monday, is explosive, where I think this Commanders' offense can hang with the Eagles. We're at a divisional dog, short week. I'll take the Commanders +6.5.
Joe Gallant, your first best bet for week three.
All right. So I had to break the touchdown cherry here. I think this is what we needed here for the show. But I am going to that Bengals Jets game that Brandon referred to. But I'm actually going to be looking at a Jets receiver to score this week again after he had two in week two. And that's Garrett Wilson. Right now sitting around +250 at FanDuel. And part of the reason why I'm really into Garrett Wilson and his ascension into this offense is he has 8 red zone targets through 2 games, 3 in week 1 versus the Ravens. I thought, you know, you look at that 8 number, you think, okay, he must have got like all 7 in week 2. No, he actually had 3 in week 1 versus the Ravens, 5 against the Browns. Part of the reason why I think you're getting a little bit more value on him is because he only plays overall so far through 2 weeks, 61% of the snaps. But in the red zone, that increases to the mid-70s. So if they get to the red zone, I like his chances to score. I know that a lot of fantasy analysts will, you know, tell you don't bail on Elijah Moore, and I agree with them. But there is a chance that both of them could score because really the Bengals, they haven't been very good at stopping the pass, and that's facing guys like Mitch Trubisky and the Lord and Savior Cooper Rush. Like, I'm not going to be discouraged with Flacco throwing the ball, even at his old age. I mean, 103 pass attempts in 2 games, especially with the DVOA being so low with the Jets defense, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot, especially if their offensive line is banged up. Like, Trubisky had 38 passes in overtime against this Bengals team. Rusher had around 31. Another reason why I'm liking Wilson as well, he's 10th in overall targets with 22. The reason why that's important is if you look at the guys that are ranked 1 through 9, that's like the Cooper Kupps, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Adams, Ja'Marr Chase, all those guys have +20 odds or lower to score in week 3. So you're seeing Wilson's odds maybe as low as +190 at some books. So we're getting a little bit of extra value here. I'm going to try to make sure and see if I can catch the tail end of this comet known as Garrett Wilson.
Okay, moving on. Let's go to best bet number 2. Back to Brandon Anderson.
I'm going back to another kitchen sink spot. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers 0-2 at home, catching 3 points to the Saints. This is a great spot for Carolina. Home team as a kitchen sink spot. So 0-2 team playing at home in a division game, 14-6-1 against the spread. So has a 70% cover rate. Also a good trend. Panthers lost by less than 7 last week. When we've got a team that's 0-2 that nearly won, those teams are covering 64% in the following week. And when they're at home, they're actually winning 18-21 straight up, 46% ROI. So this is a great spot for Carolina. I'm not even sure that Carolina shouldn't be favored here. The Panthers so far, if you look at DVOA, Panthers are ahead of the Saints on offense and defense and special teams. That's everything, guys. So I think the Saints are living a little bit off of some preseason expectations so far. They haven't been that great yet. And the Panthers may be a little underrated. They've been top six on both offense and defense on early downs. This team might be decent, and they're easy just to overlook right now. Game has a low total at 40.5. Underdogs and low totals, always a positive trend. And Jameis Winston as a favorite, only 8-19-1 against the spread, only covers 30% of the time. So this is a toss-up that maybe the Panthers are the better team. I like Panthers plus 3. I like the plus 139 money line too. I'll play both of them.
All right. So you are saying the Panthers are going to end their 9-game losing streak against the spread.
I'm saying it. Well, let's go get some money.
Okay. Love it. Very good. Also, Matt Rhule, dude, if you want to keep your job, like, he's already been connected to the Arizona State vacancy, even like Nebraska. Like, this is it, Matt Rhule, if you want to stay in the NFL.
This is kitchen sink and bathroom sink and all the other sinks in Matt Rhule's house. It's now or never, buddy.
Love it. Okay, let's go to Luke. What do you got for us? Best bet number 2.
So I'm going to go with the Falcons plus 1, pick them either or, where it's really just the fate of the Seahawks again. Okay. I faded them last week. I'm going to fade them again. Falcons are on the West Coast again. The last two defense the Falcons have played are the Saints and the Rams. So in terms of like quality of opponent, this is a huge step down going to Seattle, where in my opinion, they are the worst defense by far. And the one strength of the Seahawks is going to be the receivers, which if the Falcons have a strength on defense, it's going to be their corners. Mariota's played well. Hopefully we can get Kyle Pitts involved, where the Falcons, it's just a fade of the Seahawks. So I'm going to go with the Falcons plus 1.
It's another one of those kitchen sink teams. We got 3 of our 5 now.
One will come through. That is our hope here on this episode, as we can tell already. Joe Gallant, your second best bet.
Well, it sounds like Brandon and I are going to be doubling down on the Panthers, but I'm going to be even more aggressive. I'm taking the Panthers money line right now, hovering around plus 135 to plus 140. So they crushed this team last year as 3-point home dogs in week 2. And I think it's telling that they hung the same line this year, despite the evidence that we've already seen. Now, the Panthers, pretty scrappy through 2 games. They've lost both games by combined 5 points. Like, you could make a serious argument that they should be 2-0 right now, and the Saints should be 0-2. The Saints' run defense, that was the strength of their defense, hasn't really looked sharp yet. Already given up 40 more yards per game this season. 14 total first downs from the run. Just on that pace, that would rank near close to the bottom 5, bottom 6 of the NFL. And how did the Panthers beat the Saints last year? What they did is they got a ton of first downs from the pass, specifically to Christian McCaffrey, who wasn't in that matchup when they played near the end of the season last year. 4 passing first downs in last year's matchup. Marcus Lattimore was playing in that game. And the Panthers, they just match up well with the Saints, and specifically wide receiver DJ Moore, who has just torched them in his career. Last 5 games in this matchup, 31 catches, 452 yards, and 5 touchdowns. You could probably get him around plus 160 to plus 170 to score a touchdown as well. Now, Jameis, in his career, being a Bucs player and then moving over to the Saints, familiar playing in Carolina, 2-3 as a starter playing in Carolina in his career. And he's lost the last 2 Saints or last 2 games, in Carolina with both the Saints and the Bucs, and got a little bit of a back injury, might be a little bit reluctant to maybe want to throw. If they put the position in him where he has to throw the ball, you could see a lot more picks. You could see the same old Jameis. So I'm taking Panthers money line to take down the Saints and get their first win of the season.
How about best bet number 3 as we move along? Brandon Anderson, what do you got?
I'm going with the Rams, -3.5 in Arizona. No kitchen sink here. This one is all about coaching for me. anytime I can take a chance to fade Cliff Kingsbury against what I consider a great coach, I'm always taking that swing. Sean McVay in his career, 5-1-1 against the spread versus Kingsbury, 6-1 straight up. Those six wins by 14.2 points a game. Every one of them by at least a touchdown. And even the two by a touchdown, those were backdoor touchdowns. They've never been close in those wins. So this is a huge coaching mismatch. McVay has Kingsbury's number. And we're getting some value again on the number here. The Cardinals were awful for seven quarters before Kyler Murray magic stole a win. And that's our last taste there. The Rams were up 28-3 on Atlanta last week and then took their foot off the gas. So if those games had ended after three quarters, I think this line might have been close to a touchdown. Instead, we got that extra little bit of data. We're still getting some value here. The Cardinals have been bad on defense and their offensive line isn't good. Well, we got Aaron Donald against a bad line. We got Cooper Kupp against a bad secondary. I love the spot for the Rams, -3.5.
Luke Swain. Last best bet.
So I'm going to go with the Broncos +1.5 on Sunday Night Football. The perception of the Niners couldn't be higher right now with Jimmy G, which I agree, they're definitely a better team with him. But if you look back to Sunday's game, like, he played okay. Like, I wouldn't say he played like phenomenal against the Seahawks defense. I just went over about how bad they are. And then they're going to Denver in the elevation, which is actually a thing early on in the season for a team that the perception of them couldn't be lower for their offense. Where between the 20s, the Denver offense has actually been efficient. It's when they get into the red zone where I wouldn't say they're bad in the red zone. There are a lot of outlier type plays like fumbles, penalties, guys stepping out of bounds that really could have changed like how they've done inside the 20s. So in terms of like positive regression, I totally see it for the Broncos offense. And at the same time, just people are too high on the Niners with Jimmy G. I think it opened at Broncos -2.5, and now it's Broncos +1.5, which is ridiculous to me. I'll take an offense wanting to prove something on primetime with Russell Wilson against a Jimmy G Niners team that I just think is being overrated in a very short amount of time.
As we sit here now and record this podcast, 91% of the money on this game is coming in on San Francisco. Brandon, I'll go to you because you use the term kitchen sink and you're open. This kind of feels like a kitchen sink game for Denver too, even though they're 1-1.
It does. It's a weird spot. It feels like a kitchen sink spot for Nathaniel Hackett in some ways.
Yeah.
The man is getting embarrassed on national television, just struggling to figure out, how do I call my timeouts? When do I get the play call in? Are we punting? Are we kicking the field goal? So for me, I'm staying away from that one just because I don't know if I trust Hackett yet. He, you know, they brought him over from Green Bay. And I wondered, were they just trying to dangle a little carrot and bring Aaron Rodgers with him too? And I wonder if anyone else in that locker room might be wondering about that at this point. So Hackett, it's a little too early, only 2 weeks in, but I think it's a Hackett kitchen sink spot. I don't know if coaches can do kitchen sinks though. So we will see how that one plays out. National television, if he gets another bad one, it could be a big conversation.
Broncos offense has been poor, but I really do think at the same time, the Broncos offense being poor has overshadowed how good their defense has been. Last six quarters, I think they've given up 9 points, and I know it was against the Texans and the Seahawks. But at the same time, they might be down Surtain and Judy, which could be the line move, but like those two guys potentially being out don't really change my mind. And just Hacking on primetime TV might be poor, but can we talk about Jimmy G on primetime clutch situations? it's not very good.
Fascinating game. And stay tuned for our Monday episode here on the Action Network podcast, because that will be the game that we probably react to first when we go live Sunday night for the Monday morning pod that goes live. Joe Gallant, take us home. Your third best bet.
Sure. So this is Chiefs Colts. Natural kitchen sink game. And part of the reason I was initially looking at the spread, because I said on the look ahead pod, I thought the spread was only going to go up. And instead we're seeing reverse line movement right now, despite the Chiefs taking majority of bets in hand, at least by what sports books are reporting. But I think, again, part of the kitchen sink angle, or maybe Bellagio fountain, whatever water analogy you want to use, it's coming for the Colts, because they got to bring out every offensive trick in the book if they're going to want to stay with the Chiefs. You know, you're going to see flea flickers, play action, RPO, trick plays on special teams. Frank Reich, the playbook is wide open, man, because you can't settle for field goals against this team. So I like the over 50 and a half in this game, especially after only scoring 20 points combined through two games. Now, despite this week two just debacle by the Colts, they still rank near the top of the league for rushing first downs and rushing yards. So I think you're going to see like that 20 to 25 carry range for Jonathan Taylor. That's going to, just from a projection standpoint, that's going to probably equate to at least 14 to 17 points for the Colts in that spot. But the Chiefs passing offense, and this has been the Colts issue since the start of last year, and you're seeing it through the first 2 weeks of the season, they're allowing too many passing touchdowns, and they were doing it to Davis Mills and Trevor Lawrence. Like, imagine now what's going to happen when you have Patrick Mahomes and that offense coming through. They're really not getting that much pressure from their defensive line, which was their bread and butter. Only three sacks through two games against those deep, against those offenses where they were third in the NFL last year in that stat. And then from some trend standpoints, if you're just looking at that angle for this total, in 14 games last year involving the Chiefs, when the total was 50 or more, the over was 9-5, average combined score of 54.7 points per game. And even the games that went under, they had totals, like some of those totals in those games last year, close at like 59 and like 55. They still got to around 51 to 52 points, but they showed up as an under on the overall record. And then, of course, the last five Chiefs road games, those have all gone over. Over is 8-2 in the last 10 Chiefs games overall. So for me, I just know that the Colts are going to want to do everything they can to put up at least 25 to 30 points. I'm just not sure if it's going to be enough to outscore this Chiefs offense. So instead of trying to play the, oh, which team is going to show up here on Sunday, I think we just expect a lot of points. Over 50 and a half is one of my favorite bets this weekend for Chiefs Colts.
Okay, before we wrap the show, we're going to take a very quick look at next week's lines for NFL Week 4 and see if we like any numbers now before they adjust for Sunday's action. Brandon, one of your specialities here, what do you like for Week 4? And by the way, he nailed the Chiefs -2.5 against the Chargers a week ago.
Nailed that.
And you're also, we'll see how it goes this week with Cincinnati. You were hopped on that one at 4.5. That's moved to 6 on FanDuel Sportsbook. What do you got for us for Week 4?
We're going to London. We get our first London game of the year next Sunday. So Sunday morning, wake up early for Vikings Saints. Probably a good one, actually. We don't get too many good ones in London. So we talked, Jill and I both said earlier, we like the Saints to lose this week, even as favorites. So if the Saints lose to the Panthers, that kitchen sink spot for them. Don't forget, Jameis has the injury he's struggling through. Alvin Kamara is still hurt. That O-line is struggling. The Saints could look bad. Meanwhile, the Vikings are a classic buy low spot right now, and you can't necessarily buy low against the Lions. You'll see, none of us took that game, but the Vikings are big favorites against the Lions, and they looked great after week one. Everyone's jumped off the bandwagon after the Monday night game, but if the Vikings beat the Lions, as the books expect them to, suddenly Minnesota looks good again. The Saints maybe look a little worse. We have a neutral field. This is not a New Orleans home game here. This is Vikings by one. I think we easily could get to something past the key number there. So you want to jump on this now at basically a money line pick. Then here's a wild stat that I found. We know that in London, London is the home away from home for our lovely Jacksonville Jaguars, right? That's where Jacksonville loves to play. Take away Jacksonville games. We've got 10 other games on those Sunday morning spots. Favorites are 7-3 against the spread by 7.1 points a game. And favorites are undefeated in those London games. They are 9-0-1 straight up. The Vikings are the favorite. They will probably be more of a favorite after the games on Sunday. Get that pick in before the games.
And should that play out, right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Vikings are -118 on the money line. Saints at +100. You'd have to think that climbs into the 130, maybe even the 140 range, if those results that Brandon just laid out come to fruition. Okay, so let's recap our best bets. Each of you have three. Brandon Anderson, you first.
I got Bengals to cover on the road as big favorites, Panthers +3 at home, two kitchen sink spots, and then Rams -3.5.
Vegas refund, Luke Swain.
I got Commanders +6.5. I got the Falcons +1, and then the Broncos on Sunday night at +1.5.
And Jill Gallant.
I got Garrett Wilson with the New York Jets to continue his rise to stardom, score a touchdown against the Bengals at +250, +260. I'm going to be taking the over 50.5 between the Chiefs and the Colts. And finally, Panthers money line versus the Saints.
All right, gents, that's going to do it for this Action Network podcast episode, our NFL Week 3 Best Bets. My thanks to Brandon Anderson, Joe Gallant, and Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, for joining us today. I'm your host, Brendan Glasheen. Best of luck with all of your bets this weekend. We will see you again Monday morning right after Denver and San Francisco duel. We'll get you set for the following week with our recap show right here on the Action Network podcast.